BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new day and a new week here on the program, although some of you might not even be waking up yet this morning because it's a day off for you. Maybe you don't have to get up and go to work today on President's Day. But for the rest of us who do, good morning to you. And, of course, it is Monday, so we will be joined in the 8 o'clock hour by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. We will take your calls for him as well. He'll talk with us about the busy week that the council had last week and what we can expect coming up. We will keep an eye on the storm that's planned for later in the week, although, as of right now, what was supposed to be a big amount of snow seems to have dropped down. Well, I shouldn't say big. I mean, they were originally predicting big, but I think that happens with most of these storms. If you use different weather websites, they're going to start off with a worst case scenario and then pull it back as the storm gets closer, but we'll keep an eye on it. And of course, we can talk about the festivities of the weekend for SNL 50. I thought that the special last night was okay. I laughed quite a bit. But I thought it would be more than what it was. I thought the 40th had kind of a high bar for them to match for the 50th. And it seemed like it was less about 50 years of SNL and more about, you know, the last 25, because I think they focus so much on the 40th of the early days. But to me, the highlight of the weekend was more the SNL 50 homecoming concert that happened on Friday night at Radio City Music Hall. I thought that was a more impressive night with some really iconic and unexpected performances. And there was a lot of stuff last night that was hit or miss. And you can go through and read all of the different reviews this morning. I was reading one from NPR that I really could tell, like, the person who wrote it, who's the host of their morning show, it's like not an SNL fan. Eric Deggans. I don't know how much of an SNL fan he is because he has some stuff that's incorrect in his article. I mean, pretty iconic moments in the show's history. And I'm looking at his photo. He looks like he's older than I am. So it wasn't like he wasn't around when these things happened. But like, for instance, he mentions that Miley Cyrus and Brittany Howard played Nothing Compares to You, that Sinead O'Connor sang before she ripped up a picture of the Pope in 1992. Well, she actually didn't sing that song at all on that episode. That was on a previous appearance. She sang Bob Marley's War and then ripped up the picture of the Pope. She said fight the real enemy and then ripped up the photo of the Pope because she was talking about the abuse scandal that would later rock the Catholic Church because she had endured it herself. But there's going to be a lot of reviews that are written by people that are going to complain and talk about what worked and what didn't. And, you know, even Lorne Michaels himself has said, like, everybody has their favorite cast and then nobody can compete. And their favorite cast is usually either the one they first got introduced to the show with, or, you know, the other common refrain is that it's the cast that was on when you were in high school is the one that you will always think is the best. But I've never been one of those SNL snobs. You know, I've seen good and bad in every cast and in every season. And I think they've had a good year this year where it's been, you know, they've gotten away from a lot of the political humor. They still obviously will make fun of the big things that go on, but it's more broad and more satirical than it is, you know, biting commentary. But I thought last night was pretty much along those same lines. I mean, there were people who lost their minds because Tom Hanks showed up as the character Doug in the MAGA hat, and but that's a callback to his previous appearance in that sketch. And there was a lot of stuff that was, you know, geared toward super fans or insiders or people who had just been watching some of the 50th anniversary material. They create, there's a 4-part series on Peacock where it's like 4 different documentaries about different aspects of SNL. One's a day in the life of a week in the life of the writers. One is about the 1985 season in which Lorne Michaels returned. And there's one about, I think the first one is just kind of about like what it's like to be on SNL and auditioning for it. And then there's one just on the cowbell sketch. But if you watch those, you got enough, or if you've been an SNL super fan who's read the books and seen other documentaries and stuff, then you know some of the terminology that was used and some of the behind the scenes people that were referenced. But I don't think that got in the way of the casual fan either. But for me, you know, the person who stole the show was Eddie Murphy, which is no surprise. He had a couple of memorable appearances at the beginning and at the end. But some of the characters and sketches, I was like, why did they, like, this is not the one that I'd want to see brought back. But they kind of worked in the context of what they were doing. The Lawrence Welk one to start off the show was a dud, even with Will Ferrell coming on as Robert Goulet. The two people who knew somebody in high school, like the two best friends from high school, those were never really that funny. But it worked because it was a way to poke fun at Lorne. But overall, I thought it was a solid show. It seemed way longer than it needed to be, but at the same time, I wish it had been longer. So we can get your thoughts on that. If you haven't seen it, you know, we won't spoil it, but a lot of celebrity cameos, the entire audience was nothing but celebrities. And then to me, the more entertaining program of the weekend was the concert. I would definitely recommend watching that because there were some fantastic performances. Things that you will probably see floating around, clips you'll see floating around online, including post-Nirvana. Nirvana reuniting with Post Malone on vocals and guitar. And then David Byrne with some very memorable performances. Eddie Vedder. Miley Cyrus. The only low light of that whole night for me Devo was there. That was great. But the only low light was Jimmy Fallon starting it off doing the Blues Brothers. I liked some of Jimmy Fallon's work on SNL, and I liked some of the stuff he did on Late Night before he was on The Tonight Show, but I'm with the rest of you. Like, he's too much. But it was, after that, he didn't really get in the way of the show too much. But if you watch it, I'd be interested in getting your take. 508-996-0500. Hope that you had a great Valentine's Day if you didn't stay home watching the SNL concert. Hope that you were able to get your reservations or get to where it was that you wanted to go. Honestly, I just went home, got out of here late, of course, went home, ate dinner, watched TV, fell asleep in the chair. So a perfect Valentine's Day for me. But I know a lot of folks had, you know, plans for the entire weekend. Then the weather might have played a spoiler for some of that. But hopefully you got your perfect Valentine's Day. And if not, well, it's all right. It's really just a day. 508-996-0500. We also have app chat and open line voicemails open on the WBSM app. We have also a new contest up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We are giving away tickets to see what Joe Jackson, the father of the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson, calls the number one Michael Jackson tribute show in the world. It's called Invincible. And it's going to be happening on March 1st at Mohegan Sun Arena. And this show is like as if you were going to see Michael Jackson in concert. But, you know, 25, 30 years ago. It's got all the dancing, all the music, all the production value that you would expect. And so we've got tickets to give away all this week. You just have to go to WBSM.com or the app and enter in your information, and you could be going to see Invincible at Mohegan Sun on March 1st. And again, you know, that's on a weekend. Good excuse to give yourself another Valentine's weekend. If this one got, you know, messed up because of the weather, you could be spending the weekend at Mohegan Sun and having a romantic getaway, or, you know, just bring the fellow Michael Jackson fan in your life. So we'll pick winners for that all week long, and they're brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and where this Saturday they're going to be holding a cocktail party. You can come by and try a variety of different cocktails from 1 to 4. And don't forget, too, cocktail attire is encouraged but not required. All right, we're going to take our first break of the morning. When we come back, we can talk about those skimmers that were found on some of the Truckee's pin pads for the credit and debit cards, and how you can be on the lookout for skimmers when using your card. We can also talk about, speaking of supermarkets, something found in a market basket that was a little shocking. And plenty more. We'll be back in just a few moments. I mean, you'll have to give Lisa Stansfield a break there. That song was written before GPS and, you know, being able to track people with their cell phones and all that. So it might be a little bit easier to find her baby today, but you know, back in the early 90s when that song came out, might have been a little bit harder. But give her credit, she went all around the world trying to find her baby. And maybe not all around the world, but certainly coming from a little bit further away was a surprise that was found in a shipment of bananas at a market basket in New Hampshire. The Manchester, New Hampshire market basket, an employee was opening up this case of bananas and found inside of it a what is being described as a mildly venomous snake. The ornate cat eye that is native to Ecuador. So the snake was okay when they found it. They were able to remove it and they gave it to a reptile place, Rainforest Reptiles. But luckily the employee who found it was relatively familiar with snakes and, you know, knew what to do. And they called the animal control and actually they called the fish and game conservation officer. And he came and they were able to remove this snake and get it out of there. But that's always a concerning thing. Like when I was working in food service, whenever we had a shipment of stuff that came in, I'd be nervous about what I might find in there. Especially bananas, because you'd heard so many stories about black widow spiders in shipments of bananas. And you never knew what might be in. And we found some things. We found some things before. Luckily, never anything too dangerous. But certainly some very large insects. And, you know, it's not the food service company's fault. We actually had a bag of rice we got one time. And we used to so what we would do is we'd get these bags and we'd open them up. And then we would put them in these giant plastic totes with like the locking covers so that nothing would get into them once we've opened them. So all of our, you know, muffin mixes and flour and giant bags of sugar and all that and rice. And one time I just was downstairs getting some stuff, stocking up on things. And I happened to look over toward the rice bucket and I saw some black flecks kind of flying around in the rice bucket. I was like, uh-oh, what's in there? And we had rice weevils that came and we had to just take the whole thing out and throw it in the dumpster. But they came in the bag of rice. So you never know. You got to be careful. And thankfully, nobody was hurt. Neither was the snake. All right, we're going to go now into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Ukraine says it won't budge on its borders. Luigi Mangione speaking out after his arrest. And an 80s classic, good enough for a sequel.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the country won't recognize any of its territory occupied by Russia as part of Russia. In an interview with NBC's Meet the Press, Zelensky said no amount of negotiations will get Ukraine to change its borders. This comes after President Trump said it's unlikely that Ukraine will get back all the territory it's lost in the war as part of a peace deal. Zelensky went on to say Ukraine needs security guarantees from the U.S., emphasizing that his country joining NATO is the cheapest way to ensure regional stability. Senate Majority Leader John Thune is expecting Mitch McConnell to side with Republicans in upcoming votes. McConnell previously voted against three of President Trump's cabinet nominees, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The former Senate Republican leader spoke out on Trump's plans for steep tariffs on trade partners. McConnell wrote in a recent op-ed for the Courier-Journal that Trump's tariffs leave lingering concerns for American industry and workers. Thune says McConnell will remain influential in the state GOP conference. Luigi Mangione speaking out for the first time since his arrest. Mangione is accused of killing insurance CEO Brian Thompson in December. On Friday, Mangione released a statement on a website dedicated to his defense saying, quote, "I am overwhelmed by and grateful for everyone who has written me to share their stories and express their support." People have donated over $300,000 to Mangione's defense as he remains incarcerated awaiting trial. Five people are in custody in connection with the disappearance, torture, and murder of a transgender man. Sam Nordquist, originally from Minnesota, was visiting New York in September when he went missing. Police say the suspects tortured Nordquist for months before killing him. New York State Police Captain Kelly Swift said it's one of the most horrific crimes she's ever investigated. All five suspects have been arrested on multiple charges and will remain in custody until their trials begin. Actor Kevin Major Howard has died at the age of 69. Howard has dozens of film and TV credits to his name, but is best known for his portrayal of Rafterman in the movie Full Metal Jacket. Although the exact cause of death is unknown, his family announced Howard died over the weekend in a Las Vegas hospital surrounded by loved ones.
Pull my hair! Oh, there you get the glue away from me!
Go join your friends, you wiggles!
Are you good?
And a sequel to the classic film The Goonies is in the works. Warner Brothers has picked Patsy Panseroli to write the movie almost 40 years after the original hit theaters. Steven Spielberg will produce, and Chris Columbus, who wrote the first film, will executive produce. No director is attached to the sequel yet. No plot details have been announced, and it's unclear if all of the original cast will return.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics back on the court with the Philadelphia 76ers on Thursday, and the Boston Bruins and Anaheim Ducks face off on Saturday, the 22nd.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It's Monday, President's Day here on the South Coast. Mostly sunny and windy for the holiday, a high of 30 degrees. On Tuesday, mostly sunny again, a high of 26. On Wednesday, partly cloudy, a high of 30. And on Thursday, snow possible late with a high of 29. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
So, yeah, that news about a Goonies sequel is being met with mixed reaction from people. And I think there's more of an appetite for it now than there might have been, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. Because we've seen some of these legacy sequels come out and work. So, if you look at Top Gun Maverick, if you look at what they were able to do with Cobra Kai, which I wrapped up this weekend, great ending to that series. There's been a change in the way that people perceive some of these, because what you are getting now are people in charge of these projects who are either tied to the original, or are, in more cases, It's this. There are people who are huge fans of the original and don't want to let down the people who are similar fans like they are. And I think that's a good sign that you've got all of the original, you know, you've got Spielberg, you've got Columbus. There's also talk of the entire original cast returning. I don't know if Cary Grant still acts. And Jeff Cohen doesn't act anymore, but he'll be part of it. He became an entertainment lawyer. He's actually Corey Feldman's lawyer. But the whole cast of the Goonies is still close, so I could see them all, you know, essentially coming back. Ke-Huy Quan, now an Oscar winner. Now an action star with his new film, Love Hurts. So I think the time is right. Plus, if you're going to do it, you got to do it before everybody gets a little too old. But you got to have a good script. And for years, people talked about a sequel to the Goonies. They would have these fake posters that would go around. And everybody was like, why? Why would they do this? And then there was the rumors of a remake. Why would they remake some movie that's perfect? And like, it's not often that I say, well, you know, a movie shouldn't be remade because stories get recycled, ideas get recycled, and sometimes remakes are better than the original. But in this particular case, I definitely didn't want to see a remake of The Goonies. It is kind of a perfect movie. It's something that new generations of Discover can enjoy, but it's a great nostalgia trip for those of us that remember it when it was new. And it was also one of those movies where, you know, it's a rainy day in school, indoor recess, or teacher just doesn't want to do anything, they're going to put on The Goonies. We had that. We had The Neverending Story. There was a couple of others that were kind of in the rotation. But I think this one will get done right. Years ago, kind of fed up with the way things were going here for me career-wise, I was like, you know, I'm not going to get a full-time job as a sports writer. I started looking at places where there were other places where there were NBA teams that I could write about that there might not be as competitive as a media. And there was a job available out in Oregon. And so I looked into it and I said to my wife at the time, well, what do you think about moving to Oregon? And we were looking at a house in Astoria, you know, online. We never went to see it physically. But a house in Astoria that was literally a block away from the school from kindergarten cop. So my son would have gone to that school. And then it was not that far from the Goondocks, where the Goonies lived. And we ended up deciding, you know, it's too big of a move. You'd have to come back across country to visit family, and nobody would ever visit us. We couldn't afford multiple trips out here for holidays and things like that, so we just decided against it. But I mean, maybe I could have been a Goonie. But I think I'm cautiously optimistic about how that will come out. I also read an interview with the creators of the Cobra Kai series that they are interested in taking on other 80s and 90s properties. And because they did such a good job with that, I think a lot of people would be interested in them. There's a little Easter egg in a post-credit scene in the final of Cobra Kai. I won't tell you what it is, but it references another 80s movie property. But then they also mentioned in an interview, you know, they might want to do a take on Ghostbusters if Sony would let them and was interested in having them do it. So I think if you've got the right people, you can bring back these ideas in a positive way. Because people will complain, oh, they got to go back to the well all the time. And but then these same people will go see the next Marvel movie or the next Star Wars movie. Like, it's okay for things to become universes and franchises. I like that. I like when there are more stories to tell of characters and scenarios that I like. So, yeah, I hope that they do make it, and I hope that it is a good movie. And at the very least, people will stop talking about it one way or the other. 508-996-0500. App chat is open. Open lines are open on the WBSM app. Let me take my next break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. There's a song that was immortalized in an SNL sketch in the 90s, the Butabi Brothers. They would just go to the club and that song would come on and they would bop their heads to it. And somehow they came up with a whole script for a movie for that. There was a time when they made a movie out of every SNL sketch they thought that they could, whether it deserved it or not. It's Pat had a movie. You've probably never seen it. Stuart Smalley had a movie called Stuart Saves His Family. Probably never saw it. SNL nerds like me watch them, though. They had A Night at the Roxbury. Superstar. The Ladies' Man. Which, I don't know why I still quote it, but I do. Right, so you don't want a fish sandwich. But that's about it. That's all I can remember from that movie. Anyway, so we have the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app about these skimmers that were found at Truckee's. And it's a little concerning that Truckee's didn't talk about this, didn't release this information until Friday. When they recovered these devices on Monday and Tuesday of last week. And then Friday afternoon, they put out a press release. Like at the end of the day, on the beginning of a holiday weekend, right before the beginning of school vacation week. And if they knew that these skimmers were on these machines on Monday and Tuesday, because that's when they found them, why didn't they alert people sooner? Because a lot of damage could be done to your bank account between Tuesday and Friday. And I get it. They're trying to investigate. Police are investigating. But when this kind of stuff happens, you've got to warn people as quickly as possible so that they can cancel their cards. Because if somebody gets your credit card info on a skimmer, you're not going to know. This isn't like losing your card. You know, unless you have something that alerts you when there's fraudulent purchases or alerts you of every purchase, and then you'll know if it's fraudulent, how are you going to know until it's too late? But these skimmers, if you haven't seen them, it doesn't take much. It can be just a little extra piece that they slide into one of these card readers that looks like it belongs on the machine. And it's usually where you swipe the card. That's why if you have a chip card and you can tap, you should always tap. But I will go to a gas pump and I will pull on the credit card thing to see if it comes out. Probably not the best practice, because eventually if we all do that, we're going to loosen these things and damage them. But I'd rather not think that there's a skimmer on there. Because apparently it doesn't take long to install one of these. According to the FBI, they can be installed in seconds. And somebody could actually come up to a pin pad at the supermarket, buy groceries, pay for it, and then, you know, especially like a Market Basket where they have to turn around to the register and they've got their back to you when they're opening up the drawer because the drawer opens no matter what. Somebody could pop one of those things on when nobody's looking. And then it will just collect the data, the information of the people that use the cars, the card number and the PIN number. But I'm just surprised that it took so long for them to make an announcement when that could be days of damage done. So if you went to the New Bedford Truckies last Tuesday, or actually if you went on Monday too, because they were found in the other ones on Monday, so who knows when they were put in on the New Bedford store, but they were found on Tuesday morning at about 9 a.m. So if you went there at all before Tuesday at 9 a.m., you should be keeping a close eye on your credit card, debit card, bank account, whatever it was that you used, to see if you are a victim of one of these skimmers. And then if you are, contact the police and let them know. I mean, we've got these great modern conveniences, but it also makes it easier for people to pull these kind of things. So if you shop there again before last Tuesday at 9 a.m., the skimmers and the other stores were located on Monday. So maybe this was a coordinated effort, but who would have done this? Was it store employees? Was it the cleaning company? Who could have done this? And why did they target the Truckee's chain? Hopefully we get more information on that. Right now, though, I've got to take my final break of the hour. We will be right back. All right, we are going to be taking a break for the news a little bit later on in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo for his weekly appearance with us, and we'll take your phone calls with him as well. And then later on tonight, Brian Thomas looks at rising utility bills and wonders if maybe the Bay State could use a little dozing. That'll be on Freedom Fools with Brian tonight at 6 right here on WBSM. And we've got the podcast just about all.